This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
Now for a look at a Wisconsin legend, the life and work of the first American woman to die on a battlefield while working as a war correspondent. Her name was Dickie Chappelle, and she was from right here in Wisconsin.
Joining us now to talk about this fascinating woman is John Garofalo. He's a former entertainment industry executive and veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. He's the author of Dickie Chappelle Under Fire, photographs by the first American female war correspondent killed in action. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Rob and Veronica. How are you both doing today?
Doing well, thank you. Well, Dickie Chappelle was born and raised in Wisconsin. Tell us about those early years in our state.
Well, Dickie was born in Milwaukee and grew up living in Shorewood. So she lived there until she was 16 full-time, and her parents lived in a fairly large house, and it was a good thing because she had an extended family that lived with her. She had her grandparents and aunts and uncles that were living there. So she really did have quite an interesting background with any number of parents, or I should say any number of relatives that were there that could, argue with one or the other about what she should be doing. And I really get the sense that it was quite a chaotic household. But it really turned out very, very well for Dickie because she certainly was a trailblazer during the course of her life, and it all started from her upbringing in Wisconsin.
Well, take us from that chaotic Wisconsin household to this decision to become a war correspondent, a war photographer.
Well, actually, I have to say that probably happened when she was still living in Wisconsin. And essentially, Dickie was a really smart kid, and I get the sense that she didn't really quite fit in with the other kids in school, but she did graduate at 16, so she finished high school in 3 years and was the valedictorian. But in her earlier years, she became enamored with Admiral Richard E. Byrd, who was a famed aviator and Antarctic explorer. And so I think that started the ball rolling for Dickie to really consider a non-traditional life and things that were filled with action and adventure and all that. And essentially, she wanted to be an aviator. And unfortunately, her parents were saying, there's just no way that our darling daughter is going to go into flying those dangerous airplanes. But her mother actually came up with the idea. It's like, I think that you're going to be a writer. And so Dickie had gone off to college, and she had gotten a scholarship to MIT when she was 16, which was very, very rare. I think she was only one of three women at MIT at that point. But she did take a journalism class there, but her intent was to study aeronautical engineering. Well, the aeronautical engineering thing really didn't work out so well because she was much more interested in journalism, and she was even more interested in hanging out at the local Boston area Navy and Coast Guard bases and meeting with aviators there. And her first story that she had sold sort of as a professional was a story that featured the Coast Guard and essentially the way that they used certain kinds of telemetry for navigating their planes during search and rescue operations. And so from that moment on, she was kind of hooked with both still aviation and really decided that journalism was a productive way to go, particularly when she flunked out of MIT for not showing up to her class.
Well, she did end up studying photography in New York, and it sounds like her big break was when she got press credentials to cover World War II for National Geographic as a photojournalist, and she was in both Iwo Jima and Okinawa, two of the most gruesome engagements in the Pacific Theater. What do we know about what that was like for her?
Well, the one thing I have to correct is one of the common misconceptions that she was in the Pacific on assignment for National Geographic, and actually her work with National Geographic didn't happen until the 50s.
Okay.
At that particular point, she did some work early on for Look magazine, and she was credentialed by a publication called Life Story to go out to cover the war in the Pacific. But when she was there, she went over to Iwo Jima on the USS Samaritan, which was a hospital ship. And so she was parked off of Iwo Jima for several days during the intense fighting that had been going on there. And she had seen the steady stream of casualties come in from Iwo Jima onto the hospital ship. So she had an opportunity to see, first and foremost, the terrible consequences of war, which can lead to some horrendous kinds of injuries, and she witnessed that firsthand for a while before she finally was able to get herself onto shore.
We're talking to John Garofalo. He's author of the book Dickie Chappelle Under Fire, photographs by the first American female war correspondent killed in action. Chappelle, originally from Wisconsin. John, let's talk about Dickie Chappelle as a photographer. Your book is mainly photographs, very amazing, striking images, tragic images often from World War II through Vietnam. What was she like as a photographer?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I had a chance to take a look at a large number of her photographs. Her archive, by the way, is over at the Wisconsin Historical Society over in Madison, and they house about 23,000 images of hers. And her photography actually came about as a consequence of her being married to a photographer. She really was planning on being a sort of a traditional print journalist, and her husband taught her photography, and so she really had some training from a fairly classic sense of photography as an art. Her husband, Tony Chappelle, was 20 years older than she was and had been a photographer for quite some time by the time that they were introduced and later married. And essentially, I think that he had that kind of influence to her as, that era in which we're looking at classical black and white photography with, you know, very, very distinctive types of lighting and contrast and things. And some of her early photography definitely bore that out. But as time went on, and one of my favorite quotes that I had heard about her was from her stepson, Tony's son, Ron, who mentioned that Dickie never met a light meter that she didn't like. And so she really kind of got caught up in the moment of, you know, really trying to catch these amazing moments. And I think that her photography really reflected that. And I've always said that when you take a look at Dickie Chappelle's work, what it really shows you is this authentic, I was there type of quality. Because you couldn't get the images that she had gotten without being in some of these places that would allow that. And I think that's sort of extraordinary.
Could you describe one or two of her best-known photographs for us?
Sure. One of her best-known photographs came about from World War II, and it was a photo of a Marine who was laying on the deck of the USS Samaritan, clearly in distress. And he's got on his abdomen, you can see that there is a fairly large and growing blood stain. In fact, it wasn't a stain. You can see the blood pooled on the top of his uniform. And again, you take a look at his face, and it's clearly distressed. And the photo title was released as The Dying Marine. And it turned out that was one of her most reproduced photos. And I would say probably up until the Vietnam War. But the photo showed this Marine in really this extreme situation. But what's always interesting to me is just a little detail that sort of pops up, because if you look at the picture carefully, here you have this wounded Marine who was just pulled off of combat on Iwo Jima, one of the bloodiest battles of the Pacific, and in his pocket you can see his toothbrush.
Hmm.
And so I always liked that little sense of normalcy that was juxtaposed with this horror of war that was very, very evident. Now, what was interesting about this particular photo is that the Marine didn't die. They actually were able to save him. And Dickie went to visit him almost a year later. He was still actually in a hospital recovering from his wounds, but he did survive and went on to live apparently a long, normal life.
This job as a photojournalist in war zones was dangerous. Ultimately, it took her life. What was her attitude? How did she talk about the risks she was taking?
Well, she certainly understood the risks of what she was doing. She had no false illusions about the fact that being a war correspondent was dangerous business. And even early on, she was well aware of the fact that in World War II, Ernie Pyle, who was the most famous war correspondent of World War II and his era, was killed by a sniper in the last days of the Okinawa campaign. So she knew what the risks were. And not only that, her husband, Tony, when he was in Panama, he had enlisted or re-enlisted in the Navy and was a chief photographer's mate, teaching prospective sailors in the ways of aerial photography and things like that. And I want to say that there were three of his students in Panama and seven that were wounded. So she was well aware of the fact that it was a dangerous game. And she felt that it was important to do anyway.
This has been a story that has lived with you for a long time, and it's clear that you're passionate about it. What does she mean to you?
You know, it's really funny because if you had asked me 24 years ago when I found out about Dickie Chappelle the first time I'd ever just stumbled across her in passing, that 24 years later I'd still be working on the story, I'd say there's just no way that that's going to happen. But I really do feel that that she is a significant American that really deserves to be known by every man, woman, and child in the country. And I think that her contributions to journalism, and certainly the fact that she was a trailblazing woman, is something that was no doubt is noteworthy. And so I've really felt that it's important that somebody take that that charge and move forward with letting as many people know about Dickie as possible, because, you know, she was willing to go out and get herself killed to do what she did, and certainly I wouldn't advocate that as certainly a positive thing for everyone to sort of jump on the bandwagon. There's other ways to have a great, positive, productive life without getting yourself killed, but it still speaks to the fact that what she did was certainly noteworthy and I think worthy of the effort.
John, thank you so much for joining us and sharing her life story with us.
Well, Veronica, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
John Garofalo is a former entertainment industry executive and veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. He's the author of Dickie Chappelle Under Fire, photographs by the first American female war correspondent killed in action.